Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. One single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. That's what noted throat specialists reported in a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people who smoked only Camels for 30 days.
Make your own 30-day Camel mildness test, the sensible, thorough cigarette test, and see why more people smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, put up or shut up.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Helen.
You busy?
Oh, like a hibernating bear.
No business?
I've seen more action than a bankrupt turtle farm.
Things can't be that bad.
I'm even getting an echo in here.
Rick.
Really? Listen. Hello?
Hello?
See?
Rick, was that really an echo?
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, my girl wants to know if you're really an echo.
I beg your pardon.
Honey, I'll call you back. This echo has a man with it.
Bye.
Bye. Can I help you, sir?
I am looking for Mr. Richard Diamond.
Why?
Now, that's an extremely unique question. I want to sell him 10 tons of pig iron.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I made a New Year's resolution that I wouldn't build another battleship until I paid up my bill at the automat.
My name is Barr, David Barr. Now, if you'll stop talking like a television comedian, I would like to discuss a business arrangement.
Well, my name is Diamond, Richard Diamond. And if you're rolling in money, I'd be very happy to discuss any arrangement you could dream up.
How much do you charge, Mr. Diamond?
Well, that depends. Anything short of a felony, $100 a day in expenses.
How earthy?
Well, it keeps my ribs from showing.
Have you ever heard of me, Mr. Diamond?
Well, I have a feeling this may lose me a quick sale, but very frankly, Mr. Barr...
No matter, I can see by your clothes that your wardrobe must be fashioned exclusively by popular mechanics.
No. Well, okay, we've kicked it around. It's been fun, but I'm beginning to get winded. What do you want to see me for, Mr. Barr?
I want you to guard my store.
Store?
Yes, I have the most fashionable men's haberdashery and tailoring business on Madison Avenue.
And you want it guarded?
Perhaps I should give you some background concerning the disgusting incidents that led me to your,
office.
For the lack of a more sordid description, yes, office.
I'm sure the whole background must be very disgusting.
2 nights ago, my shop was vandalized.
Somebody broke in and swiped something.
Yes, yes. To be exact, 1 blue serge suit.
One suit?
One. I reported the incident to the police, and they summed it up with the same brilliant observation as you. To quote the sergeant, somebody broke in and swiped something.
Now, look, Mr. Barr, don't tell me you want me to find that blue suit.
No, this was not the end of the trouble, Mr. Diamond.
Somebody lifted a hand-painted tie, maybe?
Naturally, my employees were questioned, and the following day the police returned to their little precinct, satisfied that somebody had merely...
busted in and swiped something.
Yes. Well, the following night, my shop was again the object of vicious vandalizing. This time, the party, or parties responsible, took every foot of blue serge material in the shop.
Oh, now, wait a minute. First somebody breaks in and takes 1 blue serge suit. The next night, all the blue serge material in the store is stolen. What's the matter? Did you run out of suits?
All my suits are custom tailored, Mr. Diamond.
Oh.
My stock of finished merchandise is generally sparse. We complete only 2 or 3 suits a day. The missing blue serge was hanging with 2 other suits. The property, of course, of one of my best customers.
And the thief didn't touch the other 2 suits?
No. And on the following night, the night of the second burglary, a gray flannel was left untouched.
The suit and the cloth stolen were both blue serge.
Correct. Naturally, I had to order another stock of the same material. It's in the shop now, and I should not be able to sleep a wink unless I was certain that it was safe.
And you want me to sit up with the blue serge?
Exactly. I am considerably interested in finding the motive behind these unusual robberies.
Oh, well, this is certainly a first in my life. I've sat up with a lot of things, but never 15 yards of blue serge. The illustrious Mr. Barr handed me a $100 retainer, ran a white glove over the top of my desk like an inspecting general, made an observation on the pursuit of happiness, and went out of my office faster than a bad molar at a dentist convention. We had agreed to meet at his shop at 6 o'clock that evening, so I pasted the $100 bill to my instep, put the instep up on the desk, crossed the other instep over it, leaned back and dozed off, secure in the knowledge that money would never go to my head. Yeah?
Mr. Diamond, this is Mr. Barr.
Oh, yeah. Well, it isn't 6, is it?
It's 4:35. Mr. Diamond, am I correct in assuming that the moment you grabbed that $100, you became a member of my employ?
Well, you're correct. 100 bucks worth.
Then please come immediately to number 6 Park Avenue. Something's happened, and I feel a complete breakdown coming on.
Oh, come in, come in.
What's happened?
Oh, if this keeps up, I may be living on dream pills. I've been eating them like peanuts.
Well, maybe if you gave me a hint.
I have been robbed.
Well, didn't we go through this thing in
here, my... Here, I've been robbed here in my apartment.
What?
I came home, took a bath, went in to get dressed, opened my wardrobe, and to my complete horror, found three. My only 3 blue serge suits were missing.
Oh, no.
A potent reaction. Oh, no. Now, why didn't I think of that?
I can't imagine. It's certainly simple enough.
We'll spend a whole day insulting each other after you solve this mystery. So for now, strain yourself and try looking like a detective with a $100 retainer in his pocket.
Well, it's not in my pocket. But if we go into that, I'll leave myself wide open. Show me your wardrobe. Mr. Barr's apartment was as overdone as he was. I stepped down into the living room and found myself wading through a carpet that called for a dog sled to negotiate it. The smell of incense made me keep looking back over my shoulder for the dancing girls. He led the way into a bedroom that George Washington wouldn't have slept in without an armed guard and opened his wardrobe. 2 dozen $300 suits stretched from one end of the closet to the other, and there was enough material in that wardrobe to drive a frustrated moth into a complete fit.
They were hanging right here in this space.
You sure they couldn't be at the cleaners?
They were here this morning.
Now, what's that on the bed? That's a blue serge suit.
Mr. Diamond, that is the suit I was wearing when I came into your office.
No, well, I was so busy looking at your money,
Well, what is to be done?
Well, I got to admit, it's sure a strange one.
You are constantly coming up with the most astute observations.
Oh? Wait till I get around to your personality.
You'd really be a likable fellow, Diamond, if I could bring myself to look at you.
Oh, I'm not so bad. Think of what you must go through shaving every morning.
Oh, really, Diamond? What do you think is behind this ridiculous situation?
Now, very honestly, I don't know. Except the obvious. Somebody wants your blue serge suits and all the blue serge material you've got.
That blue serge on the bed is the last one I've got. Do you think this could be some kind of a practical joke?
Not very. It could get somebody 10 years.
Well, have you got any ideas at all?
Yes, I have. Take that last blue serge and hide it. I'll sit in your store tonight and see that the new material you ordered doesn't get lifted.
You take the suit, Mr. Diamond. You're being paid to protect it.
Okay.
And remember, it's new. Brand new. It would cost you $300 to duplicate it. So for the sake of your home and kiddies, don't stuff your big shoulders into it.
He gave me the key to his store and told me how to shut off the burglar alarm. He gave me the phone number where I could reach him that evening in case something happened, draped the blue suit over my arm, and hurried me out of the room like he was getting rid of a plague victim. I grabbed a cab, and 10 minutes later, I was unlocking the door to my apartment. I started to toss Mr. Barr's suit on the bed, but thought better of it, so I went to the closet, opened the door, and reached for a hanger. Now, unlike Mr. Barr's wardrobe, I generally sport a variety of items. A couple of sport coats, a few old Letterman sweaters to fill up the space, 4 pair of slacks, and usually, mind you, I say usually, 2 suits. One of which I was wearing at the moment. The other was a blue serge. Was right, because where my blue serge suit once was, it wasn't. That did it. First bar loses everything in sight that happens to be Blue Serge. Then I come home and find that one of the two suits I had to my name had been swiped. I burned. Bar could get dozens of suits and use them for bath mats when he got tired of wearing them. Me? I was going to have to sew sleeves on the bath mats. I called Bar at home, but he'd left. I thought about calling with the number he had given me, but decided against it. I sat down to try and figure it out. But a half a dozen camels later, I was still facing a big, fat zero. One thing was sure. I had Mr. Barr's last Blue Serge suit, and nobody was going to get it away from me. Big shoulders or not, I put it on and headed for Barr's shop on Madison Avenue. I never made it.
Hold it.
Hey, what is this?
You're hiding.
Well, I'm only considering it because he's got a gun in my back.
Walked under that sedan by the curb.
Oh, I get car sick.
You heard him.
Oh, fellas, I haven't been well. Doctor recommends lots of walking. Told me to stay away from cars.
No.
Oh, now look.
You heard him.
Yeah, I heard him. Would I be nosy if I asked?
Yeah, you would be very nosy.
How about you, friend?
You heard him.
Get in the back.
Look, can I interest you boys in a deal? My secret decoder and my ray gun, if you'll only... They were both big boys, and they both had big guns. One of them slugged me with one of the big guns, and my head swelled up to match the whole ugly situation. I went down and out faster than a left fielder trying to steal home with a charley horse. They rolled me into the car. We drove for a long time, me lying on the floor of the back seat, trying to bring myself back to a conscious way of thinking. Finally, I snapped out of it, and they let me sit up and take a look around. We were on a lonely stretch of road, and although the car was green, not black, and didn't look anything like a hearse, I had a gloomy feeling that we were heading for a funeral.
Get out.
Now, look.
You heard him. Okay.
Look, fellas, the least you can do is tell me...
Get out of that suit.
Get out of the suit?
You heard him.
Take it off quick.
Well, okay. Would you mind turning your backs?
You want to get belted again?
No. I'll take it off.
Take the coat, Hunts.
Yeah, Hunts. Here.
Now the pants. Come on.
Oh, all right. But it's cold. I'm getting goosebumps.
Hand him the pants.
Oh, there you are, Hunts. Oh, so you're the guys who've been after the Blue Serge suits.
Walk them off the road, Hunts.
Yeah, what if a car came by, me and my hand-painted shorts?
Get them off far enough so they won't find him right away.
Hmm?
Move!
Oh, now look.
You heard him.
Yeah, I sure did.
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, private detective, here's an important question. How mild can a cigarette be? There's one sensible way to find out. It's not just a sniff, not just a puff, but steady smoking. For only then can you find out how well a cigarette agrees with your throat day in and day out.
In a coast-to-coast test, hundreds of people smoked only Camels for 30 days. Each week, their throats were examined by noted throat specialists who reported... Not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Make your own 30-day Camel test. Enjoy the rich, full flavor of Camel's costly tobaccos for 30 days and find out just how mild a cigarette can be, how mild Camels are, pack after pack, week after week. It's the sensible, thorough test, a test that will pay off in years of smoking enjoyment. You'll discover why so many people say... Once a Camel smoker, always a Camel smoker.
How mild, how mild, how mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see. Smoke Camels and see.
And now back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
I kept walking with Hunts right behind me, his big gun pointed to the middle of my back. I could stand losing my clothes, But I'd grown to enjoy my life. So I decided I'd have to get that gun away from Hunt somehow. We were 50 yards from the road when I tried it.
Give me that gun! Come on, give it to me!
Well, I guess you didn't hear what I said. Hunt had tried his best to put a hold on me. But like most guys who think they've got a sure thing, he forgot a small item called luck. In this case, all of it on my side. I left him lying on his face in the moonlight and headed back for the car. But the other gunsel evidently saw my white shorts donning over the landscape and decided it was time to leave. I tried a shot at him and then went back to find Hunt's and borrow a pair of pants. Sometimes when things happen that fast, a guy gets careless. Now, I'd figured Hunt's, being wounded, would be in the same spot I left him. But when I got back to the spot, the one-sentence killer was nowhere in sight. Somewhere in the distance, I heard a branch snap, so I knew that Hunt's was on his way back home. I was getting too cold in my undies to start chasing him, so I went back to the road and walked until I spotted a house. Any other time, I would have considered carefully before walking up to a front door, attired only in my underwear. Thank goodness they weren't blue serge. I figured I could say I was a cross-country runner with a bad sense of direction. I rang the doorbell and waited.
Yes?
Could I use your phone? Shut up, Walt.
Boy, did you look silly when they dragged you in here.
Oh, I don't know. Otis thought it was a burlesque raid and asked me for a date.
Would you mind telling me what you were doing running around like that?
Well, that woman's husband was chasing me. What did you think I was doing?
Well, you can't blame the old man for chasing you. You scared his wife right out of her wig. Now, why don't you tell me what this is all about?
Because I don't know.
Well, how'd you lose your clothes?
Let me make a phone call and I'll tell you all about it. I put in a call to David Barr and asked him to meet me at the store. Then I briefed Walt on everything up to date. Walt said...
Are you nuts?
And I left before I had to lie. I went back to my apartment, climbed back into the only suit I had left, and 20 minutes later, I was standing in David Barr's shop on Madison Avenue. I explained the events of the last couple of hours, and Mr. Barr said...
Disgusting.
You bet.
I just can't understand it.
Move over.
Don't you have any theories at all?
Well, vague ones. That blue suit that you gave me. Tell me about it.
The material was originally ordered for a customer who failed to show up, so I had it made up for me.
Where did you get your cloth?
Black and Winterfield. Although I'm certain you've never enjoyed the benefit of their merchandise, you must have heard of them.
What customer was the material ordered for originally?
Oh, not one of my steady customers. He left a deposit.
Well, what was his name?
Kingsley. Leonard Kingsley, a small man with a preposterous stomach. I had to order 4 yards.
Well, that's Mr. Kingsley. He's never called or gotten in touch with you?
No. So needing another blue suit, I use the material for myself. If he comes in, I can always order more material.
Didn't you take his measurements?
He was in a hurry. He picked out the serge from the book, gave me a deposit, and told me he'd be back that afternoon for the measurements. That was over a month ago. What are you driving at, Diamond?
How do I know? I'm just fishing. The whole thing has got something to do with blue serge material and that blue suit.
You're getting disgustingly repetitious. I suppose you're going to tell me this Kingsley sent 2 hired killers to steal my goods because he thought it was easier than coming in for a fitting.
I know. Where's your phone?
On the desk. It's the only thing in the whole shop that looks anything like a phone. Honestly.
I got more of a description of Leonard Kingsley and put in a call to Walt at the precinct. I gave him the information, asked him to run a check. Then I said goodnight to Mr. Barr and settled back in a chair to guard the store. I'd been sleeping about an hour when Walt called back.
What do you know about this Leonard Kingsley, Diamond?
Oh, now, there's a brilliant question. Why do you think I called you up? I don't know anything. I want to find out.
Well, where did you hear about him?
From my client.
That bar guy you told me about?
That's right. This Leonard Kingsley came into his store, ordered a suit, never came back.
That was because he couldn't.
Come back?
Yeah. About a month ago, this Leonard Kingsley was killed in a car accident. Stepped off the curb and a car hit him.
You sure it was an accident?
Yep. Woman hit him. There was an inquest. Witnesses say it was all Kingsley's fault.
All right. What's the rest?
Rest?
Oh, stop with the little red riding hood. Something's up.
Well, this is confidential, Rick.
Well, it'll stay that way.
The FBI have got a share in this thing.
What?
It seems that when a check was run to find Kingsley's home and relatives, all of the credentials he had on him turned out to be phonies, particularly his passport.
What did the feds find out?
Kingsley was from one of the Iron Curtain countries. Espionage.
All right.
Well, Paul Revere with a shoulder holster.
I want some answers, Mr. Barr. How many customers can you remember who came into your shop and ordered only one suit in the last year?
Half a dozen.
How many never came back after they got the one suit? Well, what's the matter?
That's peculiar. Everyone I can remember, and they're comparatively easy because most of my customers are steady.
Go on, go on. What about these single customers?
Every one of them ordered a blue serge.
And you got all the material from Black and Winterfield?
Yes.
The whole thing was beginning to make sense. What better way of getting information out of the country than in the material of a suit? I dragged Barr down to the store again, got the names of all his single customers who had ordered blue serge suits. Then I went over to the Fifth Precinct and had Walt make a check on them. 2 hours later, the U.S. Customs Department sent in an interesting teletype.
Rick, every one of those guys have left the country and hasn't returned.
And 8 to 5, the FBI can find out plenty. Now, give them the information. Let's go over to Black and Winterfield. I want to take a look at that store. See if I can find out how anyone can hide any kind of information in 3.5 yards of blue serge.
Dark.
Yep, come on.
What do you think you're going to do?
Well, we're going in that store and take a look around.
You can't do that. Not without a warrant.
All right, Fatty, just so you won't disgrace that lovely badge, I'll go in first and you can come in and arrest me for breaking and entering.
Now, Rick, you wait a minute.
Walt, they know I got away. We can't wait. Hey.
What's the matter? What are you looking at?
That car in the alley.
What about it?
Looks like the one those two killers took me for a ride in. Come on.
Well?
Looks like it. Wait a minute. I took a shot at it, and maybe I can...
Wait, I'll light a match.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Here it is. Nice little bullet hole.
Well, I'll be...
I think one of my little headhunters is in that building. Still want to get a warrant?
Let's go. How are we going to get in?
Oh, you'll figure something out. You're really a second-story man at heart.
Rick, wait a minute.
What is it?
Look at this. Isn't that blood?
Looks like both of them are here. Leads right in the door.
Locked.
Let's go around back. We ducked around back and spent the next 10 minutes jimmying the window. And Walt couldn't have been more professional if he'd done time in Sing Sing. He jammed it without a sound and knew just how to disconnect the alarm. We squeezed through and dropped to the floor. We were in a basement, and from somewhere in another part of the building, we could hear a radio playing softly. We went up the steps to the first floor and stopped to listen. The radio was to our left, down a long corridor. We stayed against the wall and edged our way toward a door at the end of the hall. A thin strip of light showed at the crack, and we moved up and listened, holding our breath.
How are you feeling, Hunch? Well, try and take it easy. And the boss is coming with the doc.
They're both in there.
Let's take them.
Hold it.
Music making you feel better, huh?
No. No, Gabe.
Well, you want something better, maybe? Artie Shaw pick you up, maybe?
No. Turn it off.
Okay. Don't you worry. I'll get that shamus for shooting you. And the boss will be real happy when he sees we got the suit.
Okay, let's take him, Walt.
Look out behind you, Rick.
It all happened so fast there wasn't any time to think. Suddenly, there were two men standing behind us in the hall. By the time the smoke cleared, both of them were down, and Walt and I were shaking like a hula dancer with a hot foot. Then, before we could catch our breath, Gabe came running out.
I'll get him, Rick.
No, I'll get him. You go in and take care of the wounded one. Walt went in after Hunts, and I took off after the other. I caught him just as he dove through the front door. Hold it.
Okay. I'm bleeding.
All right, let's have it.
I'm bleeding. Get a doctor.
The ambulance is on the way. Now tell us about it.
What do you want to know?
We want to know about the suits and about the material and who the guys are in the hall.
One of them's the doctor for Hunts here. The other one's the boss. He runs the store.
You were getting information out of the country and the Blue Surge material.
Yeah.
What kind of information?
All kinds. Defense plans, radar locations, that kind of stuff. Done all in code numbers.
How did they do it?
Stuff was invisible, like. Just drew it on the Blue Surge. When the guy got out of the country, he'd take the suit and dip it in something. Then the writing come out.
And when Kingsley got hit by the car, you found out he didn't have the suit?
The boss did. How about it, Hunts? How do you feel?
Why did you swipe my suit?
We was tailing bar. Saw him going to your office. Figured maybe he'd give you the suit.
Well, there it is, Rick.
How about it, Hunts? Your partner telling the truth?
You heard him.
Dick Powell will return in just a minute.
What cigarette do you smoke, Doctor?
Again, a study has been made. Again, this question was asked of doctors all over the country and in every branch of medicine.
The brand named most was Camel. Yes, again and again, surveys show that more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Friends, smoke Camels for 30 days, and you'll see how mild, how flavorful, how thoroughly enjoyable a cigarette can be.
And say, how about giving a carton of Camels for Valentine's Day? Makes a swell gift.
How mild,
how mild,
how mild,
how mild, how mild can a cigarette be?
Make the Camel 30-day test.
Smoke Camels and see.
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, each week for many years, the makers of Camels have been sending gift cigarettes to hospitalized servicemen and veterans in this country. Now, gift Camels are also being sent to hospitals overseas. This week's shipping list includes U.S. Naval Hospital, Yokosuka, Japan. Camels are also on their way to Veterans Hospital, Coatesville, Pennsylvania, and Fort Howard, Maryland. U.S. Air Force Hospital, Lackland Air Force Base, San Antonio, Texas. Now, until next week, enjoy Camels. I always do.
Dick Powell can soon be seen in his new RKO picture, Cry Danger. Tonight's adventure of Richard Diamond was written by Blake Edwards with music by Frank Worth. Our director is Helen Mack. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Wilms Herbert, and Arthur Q. Bryan.
PA stands for two things, Pipe Appeal and Prince Albert. They go hand in hand, for Prince Albert's Choice Tobacco has a rich flavor and a delightful natural aroma. PA is crimped cut for smooth, even burning, and especially treated to ensure against tongue bite. Get Prince Albert, the National Joy Smoke, America's largest selling smoking tobacco.
Listen next week for another exciting transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond, starring Dick Powell. This is your FBI, the official broadcast from the files of the FBI, follows immediately.